Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To use a baseball analogy, I thought there were some good home run plays. That might have been the screen to Julio for a touchdown, or the interceptions by Trufant, but there were a lot of singles and doubles that led to the win. That might have been, doesn't show up in the stat sheet, Mohamed Sanu recovering Stocker's fumble. It might have been Sheffield punching out the opening kickoff of the second half to lead to points. Those plays count and they add up, and I thought those were big parts to it.
Head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons talking about the stuff that you didn't necessarily see, stuff we didn't necessarily talk about that much because so much emphasis on that Julio touchdown or on Isaiah Oliver's stop at the end of the game. And that Julio touchdown has been dissected and dissected. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Falcons, we get this big win, and boy, we start to realize just how big a win it was. And it isn't an interesting, I don't know if you saw this, Hugh, but all the memes about how fast Julio Jones was running, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, mentioned that yesterday. Said something about the fact that he hit 20 miles an hour yesterday on the show. So, dude, fast. We tend to forget how fast Julio Jones is because he don't look that fast when he's running. Unless you're out there on the field with him, and then he's extremely fast. But yesterday when he was running, he didn't look that fast. But then you realize, like, damn, 20 miles an hour? And that short, like, from where he ran from was, like, what, 50-some yards? To hit 20 miles an hour like that? Man, you moving. You are moving.
Yeah, and then the whole thing about Mohamed Sanu when he realized that Jed had caught the ball and got one step, and he was taking his arm and he's going, "It's over, it's over." It's in the end zone.
You know what's funny? And I saw like Eagle fans are still, you know, it's still some, you know, chirping. Everybody's in their feelings a little bit, talking about how there was a block in the back, and how they called out on two different plays. How the refs missed it. Man, listen, you can complain about something on every play, just about. I mean, you really can. And then talking about how, you caught this team when the players heard everything. Listen, man, a win is a win. Like, let's not start doing that. I mean, because if we're going to do that, we could do that for almost every game that's played every week. Let's just go ahead and take this one, enjoy it. You take the L and keep it moving. There's still a lot of football left to be played.
And the Eagles are still one of the favorites to, a loss on the road like this isn't going to define their season. A lot of ways for you to be part of the program. If you want to text in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, we have our Twitter going, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke, and, of course, at 929 The Game. And right now we're asking you this morning, two games in, and the NFC South is up for grabs. Which team is the favorite to win the division now? Interesting, Hugh, because this time last week we had people tweeting us and texting us saying, Dan Quinn has to be fired. We're going to go 0-16. This season is shot. It's over. And we asked this question now with nearly 500 votes already this morning, two games in, NFC South, who's going to win it right now? And 85% are saying the Falcons.
That's how it goes, man. That's why I do not get too excited. Can't get too excited about sports as far as, being emotional about it, because it can change at the drop of a hat. It can change at the drop of a hat, and it has. We went from being one of the worst teams in the division to now being one of the favorites. And I understand that comes with injuries, but guess what? Injuries are a part of football. Every year, injuries are a part of football. So that's how it happens. That's why you got to let it all play out, man. That's why you got to let it play out.
Well, this is certainly a time for the Falcons to attack. They go to Indianapolis, though you should know the Indianapolis Colts are slight favorites to win the game, even without Andrew Luck. They are favored at home by 2 points. Indianapolis is a 2-point favorite of the Falcons. But now you look at the other rest of the division. We still think that Tampa is they had the nice win at Carolina, but Tampa is kind of an okay team. Carolina's got its own issues. We all understand that. They're off to an 0-2 start. They've already lost a division game. Cam Newton is struggling right now, and there's a lot of people chirping at Carolina. For Carolina to make a quarterback change, we want Will Greer. I mean, here you go. We got Cam Newton on your team. And as far as New Orleans is concerned, with the news that Drew Brees is going to be out for up to 6 games or maybe more, just looking at those 6 games, how do the Saints fare? Their first 2 games we mentioned, they have to go on the road to Seattle this week. Then the next week, Hugh, they have to play the Cowboys. Those two games back-to-back.
Man, listen, Dallas Cowboys, I hate to admit it, but they look like they might be a problem. Dallas Cowboys look like they might be a problem. I know Cowboys fans are probably sitting there giggling to them little selves about how good their team could potentially be. They look good, though. No question about that. They look good. Dak doesn't look like the Dak that we saw a few years ago. He looked pretty good in the first couple games that I saw him in. So, you know, that's going to be a tough one. Oh, no, for New Orleans, it's not going to be an easy slay. It's not going to be an easy task either. So it's one of those things where we're going to find out about Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think – the good thing about that is he's been in that system for a little while, so he knows the system. He just has to get up to speed and get command of that offense. Now, he's not going to be Drew Brees. No, and nobody should compare him to Drew Brees. But I think he could be a pretty good quarterback in that offense. It's going to evolve a little bit. It has to.
Here are the six teams the Saints will play. We mentioned the Seahawks and the Cowboys. And then it gets a little easier. They play the Bucs, they play the Jags, they play the Bears in that defense, and then they play the Arizona Cardinals.
I probably wouldn't sleep on Tampa Bay, though, just because. I just wouldn't. Like, Jameis didn't look as inept in that second half as he did in that first. And, you know, B-Left looked like he's starting to, like, Byron Left was the offensive coordinator there. Looked like he's starting to find plays that Jameis is getting kind of comfortable with. So, don't expect Jameis to be the Jameis you saw in the first game of the season. Just say that. I think he's evolved. I think he's going to get better.
Oh, I don't think Tampa's an awful team. And as a matter of fact, you start to look at the division now and you start to think, you know, what's the impact of no Drew Brees? And is he back after 6 weeks? And is Teddy Bridgewater going to be effective? And if he's not, you know, how effective is Drew Brees after 6 weeks? You know, so there are a lot of questions here in regards to that. And I think there's probably, even with Drew Brees out, there's probably more concern in Carolina about the state of that team than there is in New Orleans about the state of their team. But we'll see how this kind of all plays out. The point is that this is open now, Hugh. This sea change, it's like 180 degrees. The Falcons can really make some hay in the first half of the season. I know they don't play any – their schedule is so weird. They don't play any division games until the second half of the season when they play all six of their division games in the final eight, and that's where it's going to be won or lost. But now the Falcons have a chance. You've got Indianapolis coming up this week. You're at home against Tennessee. You got Arizona coming up in this stretch here. You have a chance to get above 500, get a couple of games above 500, and maybe jump into the lead of this division in the first six, seven games.
You got a chance, but the thing that has me kind of a little leery is that you have three straight AFC opponents. And we all know that Falcons have not fared well against the AFC over the years under Coach Quinn. So that's one of the things that that's cause for a little concern. Then you look at the fact that with Indianapolis coming up, they have some players on there, some key players that are questionable that you're still not favored with. I know it's still early in the week and anything can shake out, but still, that's a little bit concerned that going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it is, and you're absolutely right about two things. One is that you have a history of Dan Quinn not faring well against the AFC. Look what happened against the AFC North last year. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, 0-4. And so that's really what kind of killed your year in a lot of ways. There were a lot of things that killed your year, but going 0-4 against the AFC North last year, just you had no chance. And so this year, you're playing the AFC South, and how you fare against Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston, back-to-back-to-back, and then later in the year against Jacksonville. Can you get a couple of those or maybe even go 3-1 against the AFC South? And we'll talk more about Indianapolis. The fact is, even without Andrew Luck, Indianapolis, let's not forget, they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they got Darius Leonard. He's a little questionable. But Darius Leonard from South Carolina State, HBCU, he's a really good player, a really, really good player.
We're talking about the Falcons and suddenly how it's changed for you in this division and who you view as the team right now, given everything else that's gone on in the first 2 weeks, how one game, one weekend changes everything. Who's the favorite to win the NFC South? We had people saying the Falcons were going 0-16 and give up on them after week one, and now everybody's saying they may be the favorite to win the division. You can go in and vote and comment as well at 929 The Game. Two games in, the NFC South up for grabs. Who's the favorite to win the division right now? You can vote for the Falcons, the Saints, the Bucs, or the Panthers, four teams in that division, and tell us why, and maybe tell us why you think somebody might be checking out of the division race this early in the year. Meantime, head coach Dan Quinn speaking to the media, talking about some of the things that are up in the air right now for this team. One of them is the status of punter Matt Bosher, who had to punt in the game a couple of times despite the pulling his groin, I guess is what happened to him right before the game last week. And so they're going to be cautious with Bosher through the week. Here's Coach Quinn.
I would say for him, you'd probably need to know on Friday, you know, because I don't think it's as much with the team as much as does he have the power to do it. So we'll give him all the time he needs to see, you know, where he can get to and get the rehab in a week. You can make a lot of improvement, but we'll only put him out there if he can, you know, do him. And if he can't, then we'll have to make some adjustments to go.
Yeah, been a kind of a rough start for old Matt Bosher. He's been one of the great punters in Falcons history. I mean, you have the block in the first game and then the groin injury in the second game where, you know, he's just out there and we're like going, oh, it just looks – it was like – but Hugh, it was painful to watch him kick because he'd kick and then hobble off the field. You're like, oh, man. And then the first time he had to punt, remember, they blew the ball dead and he had to kick it again a second time. It was like, oh, poor guy. There's that. And then, of course, we'll keep our eyes on Caleb McGarry. Meantime, Dirk Koetter met the media, the offensive coordinator, talking about Matt Bryant and his guy and now taking ownership of these mistakes that he had because there were the three interceptions, a couple of which were obviously not very good, and this is Koetter talking about his quarterback.
Matt's that's why he's the guy that he is. That's why he's such a good leader, and his experience allows him to take ownership. It's unusual for Matt to make some decisions that we're not used to seeing him make. You know, for all the good plays that Matt makes, you know, when you're the quarterback and everything goes through you, you're gonna miss some as well.
Oh yeah, you miss some, all right. Dave Archer seems to think Matt's going to be fine. He'll clean all this up. You know, you mentioned yourself, Hugh, that you acknowledged all this.
I don't know. Like, I know it's a tough spot. It's a tough position to play. But I just think it's kind of funny when people think, well, is he hurt? Is he sick? No, bro, he just made a mistake. He just blew it. He screwed up. I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, Brett Favre threw a ton of interceptions in his career. I mean, it happens. Matt's a little bit more careful with the ball than that. And, you know, for him to have five turnovers this early in the season, don't get it twisted. Matt knows he's thrown probably the closest to as many interceptions this year as he had last year. He knows that. Trust me. He knows that. And he's doing everything that he can to correct it. You saw it on his face when he's making those gestures and whatnot. He knows it. He knows he has to play better.
And Matt Ryan coming in with all the high expectations this season with this offense. The offensive line, you know, and this is not a bailout of Matt. I'm just saying the offensive line hasn't kind of lived up to its end of the bargain here. We expected to fix the offensive line, and it's been, you know, had its troubles, obviously, over the first couple of games. And its struggles, and that has led to some of the, you know, issues on offense. And, again, I'm not bailing Matt out. He owns all of this because had the Falcons lost that game, it would have been on him. Make no mistake, it would have been on Matt Ryan's shoulders again. But, yeah, this back-to-back with, you know, two interceptions in the end zone, whew, man.
The three picks wouldn't have helped, but we look at that game totally different. Defense was the last folks on the field. That'd have been on them if they'd have lost that game. That'd have been on the defense. That'd have been squarely on the defense's shoulders. Because the last time I checked, the Falcons scored to put you up. And the Eagles were threatening to score. And your defense stepped their wheel. So, you know, even though Matt threw those three picks and it wasn't great, the defense was the last ones on the field. Yeah. So it would have been on them.
Well, let's see what the Falcons offensive line can give Matt a little bit of time and let him stretch the field vertically. I mean, that's what Philadelphia gave him. Of course, I don't know that they're going to face Hugh. Let me step back. Maybe Philadelphia gave some other teams a blueprint on how you attack Matt Ryan, and you just send the house every time.
That's why I think that by Darius Leonard being questionable for the Indianapolis Colts bodes well for the Atlanta Falcons offense, because he's a beast. He can get after the quarterback, linebacker. He can get after the quarterback. So that kind of bodes well for the Atlanta Falcons moving forward.
We're talking about the Falcons as we get ready. The show's going to be loaded going forward here. It's going to be a very busy Tuesday. We're going to talk about, of course, the big news of town this week, the Braves. Jerome Jurinovich will join us in the next hour. The other big news in town, Georgia Notre Dame. Tim Brown will join us in the next hour. We'll talk about the other big news in town. See how much is going on. Brad Guzan coming up later in this hour. So they're all ahead. But next up, we're going to talk a little bit about a big event coming up. SmackDown tonight at State Farm Arena for WWE. And I know, Hugh, that you're now wrestling's something I got to get up to speed on. But you know wrestling a lot better than I do.
I don't know as much as like my man, the Georgia Garter Snake. My man, John Chuckery. I know he's probably listening to talk about Garter Snake. No, that's not my man. But yeah, John Chuckery is the guy that is up on everything that is wrestling. I would not be surprised if we see him in here this morning, unless he has to work, and he's definitely probably going to be at the matches tonight. I could definitely see John Chuckery doing that.
SmackDown is tonight, and one of the stars of WWE, Bayley, is here to talk about the event and what she sees in the future of the women. It's amazing what the women have been able to do in WWE. She's going to join us in studio next with John and you. Hey, our Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation a week from tomorrow, 4 to 7, Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Lots of celebrities. Full information on our events page at 929thegame.com. Bayley going to join us in studio next as we get loaded up. We are chock full over Hartsfield-Jackson over the next hour and 40 minutes on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com, now a CBS Sports Minute. You know, a loss on the road like this isn't going to define their season. A lot of ways for you to be part of the program. If you want to text in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, we have our Twitter going, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke, and, of course, at 929 The Game. And right now we're asking you this morning, two games in, and the NFC South is up for grabs. Which team is the favorite to win the division now? Interesting, Hugh, because this time last week, we had people tweeting us and texting us saying, Dan Quinn has to be fired. We're going to go 0-16. This season is shot. It's over. And we asked this question now with nearly 500 votes already this morning, two games in, NFC South. Who's going to win it right now? And 85% are saying, 85% are saying the Falcons.
That's how it goes, man. That's why I do not get too excited. Can't get too excited about sports as far as, you know, being emotional about it, because it can change at the drop of a hat. It can change at the drop of a hat, and it has. We went from being one of the worst teams in the division to now being one of the favorites. And I understand that comes with injuries, but guess what? Injuries are a part of football. Every year, injuries are a part of football. So that's how it happens. That's why you got to let it all play out, man. That's why you got to let it play out.
Well, this is certainly a time for the Falcons to attack. They go to Indianapolis, though you should know the Indianapolis Colts are slight favorites to win the game, even without Andrew Luck. They are favored at home by 2 points. Indianapolis is a 2-point favorite of the Falcons. But now you look at the other rest of the division. We still think that Tampa is a, you know, they had the nice win at Carolina, but Tampa is kind of an okay team. Carolina's got its own issues. We all understand that. They're off to an 0-2 start. They've already lost a division game. Cam Newton is struggling right now, and there's you know, a lot of people chirping at Carolina. You, for Carolina to make a quarterback change, we want Will Greer. I mean, here you go. We got Cam Newton on your team. And as far as New Orleans is concerned, with the news that Drew Brees is going to be out for up to 6 games or maybe more, just looking at those 6 games, you know, how do the Saints fare? Their first 2 games we mentioned, they have to go on the road to Seattle this week. Then the next week, Hugh, they have to play the Cowboys. Those 2 games back-to-back.
Man, listen, Dallas Cowboys, I hate to admit it, but they look like they might be a problem. Dallas Cowboys look like they might be a problem. I know Cowboys fans are probably sitting there giggling to them little selves about how good their team could potentially be. They look good, though. No question about that. They look good. Dak doesn't look like the Dak that we saw a few years ago. He looked pretty good in the first couple games that I saw him in. So, you know, that's going to be a tough one. Oh, no, for New Orleans, it's not going to be an easy slay. It's not going to be an easy task either. So it's one of those things where we're going to find out about Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think – the good thing about that is he's been in that system for a little while, so he knows the system. He just has to get up to speed and get command of that offense. Now, he's not going to be Drew Brees. No, and nobody should compare him to Drew Brees. But I think he could be a pretty good quarterback in that offense. It's going to evolve a little bit. It has to.
Here are the 6 teams the Saints will play. We mentioned the Seahawks and the Cowboys. And then it gets a little easier. They play the Bucks, they play the Jags, they play the Bears in that defense, and then they play the Arizona Cardinals.
I probably wouldn't sleep on Tampa Bay, though, just because. I just wouldn't. Like, Jameis didn't look as inept in that second half as he did in that first. And, you know, B-Left looked like he's starting to, like, Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator there. Looked like he's starting to find plays that Jameis is getting kind of comfortable with. So don't expect Jameis to be the Jameis you saw in the first game of the season. Just say that. I think he's evolved. I think he's going to get better.
Oh, I don't think Tampa's an awful team. And as a matter of fact, you start to look at the division now and you start to think, you know, what's the impact of no Drew Brees? And is he back after 6 weeks? And is Teddy Bridgewater going to be effective? And if he's not, you know, how effective is Drew Brees after 6 weeks? You know, so there are a lot of questions here in regards to that. And I think there's probably, even with Drew Brees out, there's probably more concern in Carolina about the state of that team than there is in New Orleans about the state of their team. But we'll see how this kind of all plays out. The point is that this is open now, Hugh. this sea change. It's like 180 degrees. The Falcons can really make some hay in the first half of the season. I know they don't play any – their schedule is so weird. They don't play any division games until the second half of the season when they play all six of their division games in the final eight. And that's where it's going to be won or lost. But now the Falcons have a chance. You've got Indianapolis coming up this week. You're at home against Tennessee. You got Arizona coming up in this stretch here. You have a chance to get above 500, get a couple of games above 500, and maybe jump into the lead of this division in the first six, seven games.
You got a chance, but the thing that has me kind of a little leery is that you have three straight AFC opponents. And we all know that Falcons have not fared well against the AFC over the years under Coach Quinn. So that's one of the things that that's cause for a little concern. Then you look at the fact that with Indianapolis coming up, they have some players on there, some key players that are questionable that you're still not favored with. I know it's still early in the week and anything can shake out, but still, that's a little bit concerned that going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it is, and you're absolutely right about two things. One is that you have a history of Dan Quinn not faring well against the AFC. Look what happened against the AFC North last year. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, 0-4. And so that's really what kind of killed your year in a lot of ways. There were a lot of things that killed your year, but going 0-4 against the AFC North last year, just you had no chance. And so this year, you're playing the AFC South, and how you fare against Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston, back-to-back-to-back, and then later in the year against Jacksonville. Can you get a couple of those, or maybe even go 3-1 against the AFC South? And we'll talk more about Indianapolis. The fact is, even without Andrew Luck, Indianapolis, let's not forget, they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they got Darius Leonard. He's a little questionable. But Darius Leonard from South Carolina State, HBCU, he's a really good player, a really, really good player.
We're talking about the Falcons and suddenly how it's changed for you in this division and who you view as the team right now, given everything else that's gone on in the first 2 weeks, how one game, one weekend changes everything. Who's the favorite to win the NFC South? We had people saying the Falcons were going 0-16 and give up on them after week one, and now everybody's saying they may be the favorite to win the division. You can go in and vote and comment as well at 929 The Game. Two games in, the NFC South up for grabs. Who's the favorite to win the division right now? You can vote for the Falcons, the Saints, the Bucs, the Panthers, four teams in that division, and tell us why, and maybe tell us why you think somebody might be checking out of the division race this early in the year. Meantime, head coach Dan Quinn speaking to the media, talking about some of the things that are up in the air right now for this team. One of them is the status of punter Matt Bosher, who had to punt in the game a couple of times. Despite pulling his groin, I guess that's what happened to him right before the game last week, and so they're going to be cautious with Bosher through the week. Here's Coach Quinn.
I would say for him, you'd probably need to know on Friday, you know, because I don't know if it's as much with the team as much as does he have the power to do it. So we'll give him all the time he needs to see, you know, where he can get to and get the rehab in a week. You can make a lot of improvement, but we'll only put him out there if he can, you know, do him. And if he can't, then we'll have to make some adjustments to go.
Yeah, been a kind of a rough start for old Matt Bosher. He's been one of the great punters in Falcons history. I mean, you have the block in the first game and then the groin injury in the second game where, you know, he's just out there and we're like going, oh, it just looks – it was like – it was painful to watch him kick because he'd kick and then hobble off the field. And you're like, oh, man. And then the first time he had to punt, remember they blew the ball dead and he had to kick it again a second time. It was like, oh, poor guy. There's that, and then, of course, we'll keep our eyes on Caleb McGarry. Meantime, Dirk Koetter met the media, the offensive coordinator, talking about Matt Bryant and his guy, and now taking ownership of these mistakes that he had, because there were three interceptions, and a couple of which were obviously not very good, and this is Koetter talking about his quarterback.
Matt's that's why he's the guy that he is. That's why he's such a good leader, and his experience allows him to take ownership. It's unusual for Matt to make some decisions that we're not used to seeing him make. You know, for all the good plays that Matt makes, you know, when you're the quarterback and everything goes through you, you're gonna miss some as well.
Oh yeah, you miss some, all right. Dave Archer seems to think Matt's going to be fine. He'll clean all this up. You know, you mentioned yourself, Hugh, that you acknowledge all this.
I don't know. Like, I know it's a tough spot. It's a tough position to play, but I just think it's kind of funny when people think, well, is he hurt? Is he sick? No, bro, he just made a mistake. He just blew it. He screwed up. I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, Brett Favre threw a ton of interceptions in his career. I mean, it happens. Matt's a little bit more careful with the ball than that. And, you know, for him to have five turnovers this early in the season, don't get it twisted. Matt knows he's thrown probably the closest to as many interceptions this year as he had last year. He knows that. Trust me, he knows that. And he's doing everything that he can correct it. He can to correct it. You saw it on his face when he's making those gestures and whatnot. He knows it. He knows he has to play better.
And Matt Ryan coming in with all the high expectations this season with this offense. The offensive line, you know, and this is not a bailout of Matt. I'm just saying the offensive line hasn't kind of lived up to its end of the bargain here. We expected to fix the offensive line, and it's been, you know, had its troubles, obviously, over the first couple of games. And its struggles, and that has led to some of the, you know, issues on offense. And, again, I'm not bailing Matt out. He owns all of this because had the Falcons lost that game, it would have been on him. Make no mistake, it would have been on Matt Ryan's shoulders again. But, yeah, this back-to-back with, you know, two interceptions in the end zone, whew, man.
The three picks wouldn't have helped, but we look at that game totally different. Defense was the last folks on the field. That would have been on them if they had lost that game. That would have been on the defense. That would have been squarely on the defense's shoulders. Because the last time I checked, the Falcons scored to put you up. And the Eagles were threatening to score. And your defense stepped up well. So, you know, even though Matt threw those three picks and it wasn't great, the defense was the last ones on the field. Yeah. So it would have been on them.
Well, let's see what the Falcons offensive line can give Matt a little bit of time and let him stretch the field vertically. I mean, that's what Philadelphia gave him. Of course, I don't know that they're going to face let me step back. Maybe Philadelphia gave some other teams a blueprint on how you attack Matt Ryan, and you just send the house every time.
I think that by Darius Leonard being questionable for the Indianapolis Colts bodes well for the Atlanta Falcons offense, because he's a beast. He can get after the quarterback, linebacker. He can get after the quarterback. So that kind of bodes well for the Atlanta Falcons moving forward.
We're talking about the Falcons as we get ready. The show's going to be loaded going forward here. It's going to be a very busy Tuesday. We're going to talk about, of course, the big news of town this week, the Braves. Jerome Jurinovich will join us in the next hour. The other big news in town, Georgia Notre Dame. Tim Brown will join us in the next hour. We'll talk about the other big news in town. See how much is going on. Brad Guzan coming up later in this hour. So they're all ahead. But next up, we're going to talk a little bit about a big event coming up. SmackDown tonight at State Farm Arena for WWE. And I know, Hugh, that you're now wrestling's something I got to get up to speed on. But you know wrestling a lot better than I do.
I don't know as much as like my man, the Georgia Garter Snake. My man, John Chuckery. I know he's probably listening to talk about Garter Snake. No, that's not my man. But yeah, John Chuckery is the guy that is up on everything that is wrestling. I would not be surprised if we see him in here this morning, unless he has to work. And he's definitely probably going to be at the matches tonight. I could definitely see John Chuckery doing that.
SmackDown is tonight, and one of the stars of WWE, Bayley, is here to talk about the event and what she sees in the future of the women. It's amazing what the women have been able to do in WWE. She's going to join us in studio next with John and you. Hey, our Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation a week from tomorrow, 4 to 7, Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Lots of celebrities. Full information on our events page at 929thegame.com. Bayley going to join us in studio next as we get loaded up. We are chock full over Hartsfield-Jackson over the next hour and 40 minutes on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com. Now a CBS Sports Minute.
And the official just trying to back up Charlotte Flair. That wild-eyed look in the eye of Charlotte. We've seen that before. Charlotte can't let it get the best of her.
And Charlotte's able to focus her emotions
Hey, and wait a minute. The turnbuckle pad was off. Wait a minute. Cover by Bayley. Bayley retains the title.
Well, that's what happened in the last event. The last storyline saw Bayley get the belt. She's here in studio. WWE SmackDown tonight. State Farm Arena, we told you all these big events, Hugh. Morning show with John and Hugh. And tonight, State Farm Arena going to be rocking with WWE SmackDown. Morning to you, Bayley. Welcome to the studio with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what was that like to retain your title, get that big win? How did that feel in that moment?
It felt so good, especially against Charlotte Flair, you know? She's so selfish. She's so cocky. Can I say cocky? So, and she's been saying so many mean things about me, saying I don't deserve to be champion and all that stuff. So it was nice not just to rub it in her face, but to prove her wrong.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at WWE at their SmackDown site, and it says, well, Bayley's dirty victory over Charlotte Flair catch up to her.
How do you feel about that? When you hear stuff like that, how does that make you feel, honestly?
I mean, it kind of hurts my feelings, you know?
But you got the belt, though, so it don't hurt too bad.
And that's all that matters. You know, I would say last night was a little dirty. Charlotte Flair hit me with a steel chair. I think that's a little dirty. So maybe they should write about that.
Yeah, that's still chair action, though. That ain't cool.
That doesn't feel good. Does not feel good. We sit on chairs, guys.
We don't throw them at young ladies. We don't throw them at women.
They're for our butts, not our backs.
It is a double main event tonight at State Farm Arena. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Starting as low as $20, WWE Championship match, Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, then Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. So, Bailey joining us in studio. She's got the belt. It's a beautiful belt. You are the champ. Let me ask you a question, though. Do you consider yourself a, what is it, a heel and a face? I'm trying to get up to the lingo here.
I'm just me, Bailey, and I'm trying to be a role model for everybody.
Wait, but hold up, at first you were like one of the beloveds, now you've turned a little bit into a little bit of a heel now. So how has that transition been for you?
Okay, so everybody's thinking that I'm this bad person now, but I come out, I have the same entrance, I have the same hair. Usually when people, you know, turn to the dark side, they look a little different, right? They act a little different, but I'm the champion. I'm a leader. And I wouldn't steer the audience wrong.
So are you still giving hugs?
Yeah. You want one?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I see? They can't even see this.
Yeah, they can't even see it. So, all right. Yeah, Huggy Hugh is happening in the studio.
She smells so good.
I smell good, too.
You know, for, like, to be a wrestler, like, for a woman, like you would think that, no, she's not like what you think of wrestlers be. She smells like Jasmine and Honeysuckle.
There we go. Jasmine and Honeysuckle.
She's not a heel at all to me.
No, I'm a Jasmine and Honeysuckle champion.
You know what? If I wasn't so dark, I'd be blushing right about it. I'd be blushing.
WWE star Bailey in studio with John and Hugh. SmackDown is tonight at State Farm Arena. You mentioned Charlotte Flair. You got, you know, all the stars on the women's side and the success over here on TV of GLOW, and I know that has nothing to do with you, but I'm saying, isn't it amazing to you, Bailey, how women's wrestling has, because a lot of people didn't think it would take off, and it's just, wow.
Yeah, it keeps getting bigger and bigger, which is crazy. man, I'm a lifetime fan, so I've seen it go through all the stages of being really good, what got me into it, and being a part of the main storylines, and then it kind of went, you know, dipped down a little bit and then went back up. It's literally like a roller coaster ride with the division. But right now I feel like we've been at a constant going to the top, you know. And they just main evented WrestleMania. We have women's tag titles now. We have a great SmackDown Women's Champion. Her name's Bayley. I'm very proud of the division and we've worked very hard for it. But we've also been given so many opportunities by Triple H starting out in NXT. So I think that's what helped us a lot. And there's a lot of women there. You got Natalya and Tamina who've been there when it wasn't so great. And they're still here, like, pushing for it. So that really helps us out and shows how far we've come.
Sports Radio 92.9 Game. We're talking to WWE champion Bayley. So, Bayley, when did little Bayley, decide that she wanted to be a wrestler?
When I was about 11, so I think I started watching around 10, and it wasn't like a year and a half, two years maybe, where I was like, oh, man, I could do this. It wasn't just something on TV. It was something that I saw that they were just people. They were human, and it was possible, and then I started seeing how good the women were at it, and I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm a person. I could do that, too. So that's when it all, you know, the obsession started.
Uh-huh.
And I would say I started going to shows since I was like 12. And when I was 18, I was like, all right, now it's time to get serious and found a school and started training.
So I wanted to ask you about that. So with your busy schedule, where do you find time to actually train and do what you need to do in order to be prepared to defend your title?
Well, nowadays, you know, when I was in NXT for 4 years or so, we trained in the ring every single day. We were in the ring 3 hours a day, which is rough for anybody. If you've never been in a wrestling ring, being in there for 10 minutes is rough, but 3 hours a day. But now that we are on Raw and SmackDown traveling so much, as long as we could get in the gym, you know, and I do CrossFit workouts right now. Seth Rollins actually got me into that. We have the same trainer. His name's Josh, and he's out in Venice, but he kind of keeps my body ready. They always compare, like, the CrossFit workouts to the intensity of a wrestling match.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, so I feel like that helps me a lot mentally in the gym. and I guess helps my body like cardio-wise and things like that.
WWE star Bayley in studio for another minute or two here as she gets ready for tonight. WWE SmackDown, State Farm Arena. You've got the belt. Who's gunning for you? Is it Becky? Is it Charlotte? And who are you? What's tonight? I see some of the matches. What's yours tonight?
You know? I don't know my match tonight. I just know that I'm going to be there because I'm the face of the division. Okay, you know what? I don't want to sound like Charlotte. I'm not the face of the division. But recently, since I defeated Charlotte at Clash of Champions, I kind of put out an open invite. So I'll say it again. Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Carmella, Kyrie, anybody. I just want fresh new matchups for the SmackDown Women's Division. So I would say if you come to SmackDown tonight, expect the unexpected.
So basically, Bayley says she want all that smoke.
I want it.
She
all
want that smoke.
That smoke. Give me that smoke.
It's okay to be a bad guy, by the way. You can make a lot of money being a bad guy if it turns out that you
She doesn't see it that way, John Freaky. She's the woman
yeah,
of the
John
people.
John Freaky?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the bad guy.
You're a bad guy? I don't think you're a bad guy.
You
seem like a sweet guy.
Nah.
You're great.
Nah.
Do you need a hug?
I'm going to be like the Terminator or something.
John's married. He ain't allowed to hug nobody. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Mrs.
Right.
John, I'm not going to go after
him. Married to the Maven. Bayley, look forward to seeing you tonight. Welcome to Atlanta, and hell of a belt,
Thank you.
WWE star Bayley joining us in studio with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, WWE SmackDown State Farm Arena. Double championship match tonight. Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan. And it says, witness the coronation of the new King of the Ring. So, big teaser going ahead with that. Thank you for joining us this morning as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know you guys got to run. What was that again, Hugh?
No, somebody just said, easy on the flirting cowboy.
Oh,
are you asking me on the air?
Yeah, I'm asking you on the air, yeah.
I didn't know it was still on the air, John Freaky. Thanks a lot.
No, congratulations on the belt, and good luck tonight, as if you need it, for Bayley joining us tonight.
I didn't get the countdown right. I thought we were done.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, I was getting text messages talking about, hey, easy with the hugs. Listen, the lady asked, did I need a hug? And I did. I needed a hug. I needed one. I needed a hug. It smelled good, too.
Yes, you're a lady.
or the sick was looking at me like, I'm his hero right about now. Good times.
Bayley joining us in studio. So they got this thing going, Bayley and Charlotte. We had Charlotte in what, about a year ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, man, listen, women's wrestling has blown up to the point where, you know, they're standalone. They can hold their own now. I mean, I think it's great. And you know, for it to be as prominent as it is in the male wrestling ring and to have the fans that they have, man, that's a great thing. They worked hard. They've definitely worked hard to get the props that they're getting right now.
Yeah, no, they have. And, you know, this growth has been phenomenal. You know, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair and now Bayley, and they keep improving this. And, you know, I admit that I'm not the biggest know-it-all when it comes to wrestling. I enjoy it when I go, and I've been to some WWE events. If you've never been, I will say this, Hugh, and this much I will say, it's a hell of a show.
It's okay to enjoy wrestling and not have to know everything about it. I mean, I think that's kind of most of us. You know, like, we have some hardcore wrestlers like my man John Chuckery and my man Bo. But, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to not know a whole lot about everything. It's okay.
Yeah, we told you it's a very big, packed show here. Falcons fans, you can tune in to 92 on the Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane going to preview the upcoming matchup. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds. Next up, Brad Guzan. He's next on the rundown. We'll talk with the United keeper about the playoffs and about what's ahead tomorrow night for United as they wind down the MLS season and towards defending their MLS Cup. With John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com. Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tuesday, ahead of a huge week, and we thank Bayley again. WWE SmackDown at State Farm Arena tonight. Also coming up tomorrow, Atlanta United is going to be having a busy week. A quick turnaround as they get a road game tomorrow night at FC Cincinnati in a game you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with our coverage of Mike Conley and Jason Longshore beginning at 7 o'clock and the kick at 7:30 from Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati. We are joined now by Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Guzan, who joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. Morning to you.
Morning. Morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Brad, I don't recall seeing you out there at the golf tournament. Did you play? And if you did, what was your handicap?
I unfortunately was not able to make it. I was with the U.S. on international duty, so I guess a decent excuse to miss out on it. But I know the guys had a great time.
Oh no, that's a great excuse. I mean, that's a great excuse. I was just kind of wondering what the golf game was looking like a little bit. But yeah, great excuse.
I can get around the course, but I think. Julian had alluded before the tournament, you know, there's a few choice words probably being thrown around towards the later holes. It becomes a little bit frustrating, but like I said, always a good time to get out there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was no secret that the game was a little, you know, it was bad against Saturday night against Columbus. What do you do for with sure. such a short period of time with turnaround to get ready for Cincinnati?
We got to look in the mirror. We got to look in the mirror first and foremost. I mean, we can talk, you know, tactics, this, that, and the other, but we weren't sharp. We weren't good enough, plain and simple. And so, you know, there's no excuses for that. You've got to look in the mirror as individuals, as a team, as a collective, and we got to make sure when we step on the field tomorrow night, we get the job done.
Brad Guzan joining us here as we get ready for the final five games of the season. I know that you guys can do the math and what you have to do, but aside from the math of getting back to the number one seed here and the help that you now now need, Brad, it's more about making sure that you guys are, you know, collectively. This has been a Dow Jones kind of a season. I mean, there've been big highs and some pretty big, you know, struggles too. Making sure that you're turning the ship and getting it going in the right direction here. Is there a magic key for you guys to have, or are you just a matter of you connecting on offense and doing the right things defensively? Is there something that you got to do and work on, or what?
No, I don't know if there is a magic key, and if there is a magic key, we need to try and find it. You know, I think that's always the dilemma in sports, right? And you've got to find a way to try and be a consistent team, consistently good every time you step on the field, and that's the challenge. And so, as you mentioned, this year there's been some good moments, some not so good moments. But as we know with the playoffs, you know, you want to be on the rise come playoff time. And so there's a handful of games left of the regular season, and then we're into the playoffs, and that's when it matters, and that's what it's about. So we've got to make sure that we use these next five games to try and make sure we start to put this in an upward trend in a positive way that allows us to feel confident going into the playoffs, and that way when those games roll around, that it's all business.
Talking with Brad Guzan, Atlanta United goalkeeper, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. You do get back into the playoffs, third year in a row. All 3 years you've been in the postseason. Now this is, you know, whether you have home field advantage or not. Let's talk a little bit about FC Cincinnati. This is, a brand-new team. They've had some good moments, but mostly tough moments. And here's a chance on the road to go get 3 points. What do you see out of them?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of a question mark because, as you said, their season's not been a great one, but they're also coming off of a big win on the weekend. And so they're going to be feeling confident. They're going to be feeling good, especially being at home. So we've got to make sure that we start off to a fast-paced start to the game, high energy, and really put them on the back foot. And I think if we do that and we can get an early goal, I think that will help help us in terms of settling into the game and playing how we enjoy playing and being able to dictate the game.
Brad Guzan, of course, now you're back with the team. You and Miles were with the U.S. men's national team. Barco had duty down in Argentina. LGP missed the last game because of yellow card stuff. But it sounds like the band is back together here. How important is it for you to have, you know, that make sure that the guys right immediately in front of you get settled back again and back into a routine with Miles and LGP and your defense is right in front of you?
Yeah, it's important. I mean, I think, as you mentioned, there have been games this year when we've been really good and we've been really strong, and then there's been games when we certainly haven't been our best. And so, as I mentioned, you know, the more times that we can spend on the field, the more time we spend together in terms of the training field, then ultimately you hope to eliminate little mistakes, little errors that sometimes can lead to big chances for the opposition, ultimately goals. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be consistently a good team, a team that is a a winning team, so that when we step on the field, it's all about trying to get 3 points.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to Brad Guzan, Atlanta United's goalie. Brad, you know Matt Bosher got hurt last week, right? He can't punt. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if you could punt or not, but you kind of, you're a big dude. You kind of fit the NFL prototypical size. You say you get out there, give us a couple punts if we need you?
Listen, absolutely. You know what I mean? A man of all trades. So I'll be out there, not a problem. As long as the games aren't going to be interfering with Atlanta United, we'll make it work. We'll make it happen.
Hey, don't play now, because we know people. Like, if we, you know, I know Coach Quinn giving it to
him. I'm on a plane going to the game.
All right, then, because we know, you know, Coach Quinn giving it to him Friday, so we get to talk to him tomorrow. I'm going to throw your name in the hat. I'm just letting you know right now.
All right, then.
I'm going to throw your name in the hat.
All good. All good.
Hey, Brad, we look forward to the game tomorrow night. Look forward to seeing you back at home on Saturday night against San Jose, Saturday afternoon. In that 3:30 kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against San Jose. Final run, let's get this thing turned around in Cincinnati and head hot into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good one, all right?
You too.
Brad Guzan. Yeah, he, you know what? But with his leg, you know, left-footed punters are rare, but, you know, Duke can hit it, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brad could tee off on a punt or two. Where they, you know, those guys, that's where soccer-style kickers came from, by the way. It used to be that all the kickers in the NFL just kicked straight on.
And he seemed like he's pretty durable, you know, big dude. I could see Goo out there kicking off, punting.
And way back in the early 70s, somebody from the New York Giants said, hey, what if we got a soccer guy out here? And they got some soccer player named Pete Gogolak, and he became the first soccer-style kicker. And then I think Mark Mosley was the last straight-on kicker. It's almost like you want to tell people, you know, go check out Mark Mosley video on YouTube and see what it looks like, because it looks so weird to see a straight-on kicker anymore, because you haven't seen one. They don't exist. But anyway, let's get back to Atlanta United again. FC Cincinnati Wednesday, San Jose on Saturday. Two Hugh, very winnable games. If they can get 6 points, I think they'll feel a lot better about themselves.
Yeah, but you can't look. Hey, that's the one thing about it. You kind of heard that from Brad, is that can't overlook anybody. I mean, you're in, but now you're looking for placement, so you can't overlook anybody.
I mentioned it's a very busy show leading to a very busy week. What with United playing Wednesday, we have the Braves back in town beginning tonight. They could clinch on Wednesday or Thursday. Falcons play Sunday in Indianapolis. So much going on, including the showdown that everybody's talking about in college football. Notre Dame at Georgia. We'll talk with former Notre Dame great. Well, he won a Heisman. That's how great he was. Tim Brown. What does he think of his Irish? He'll join us live next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.